riders on the storm. Riders on the storm. Into this house we're born. Into this world we're thrown.
Classic rock legends, The Doors.
Like a dog without a bone, an actor out alone. Riders on the storm.
Two of the remaining Doors, Ray Manzarek and Robbie Krieger, have formed a new band called Riders on the Storm. They got Brett Scallions, the voice of Fuel, to be their lead singer, and they're coming to town this Friday night to perform at Pop's Nightclub over in Sauget. Ray Manzarek has appeared on this show various times through the years, and I'm happy to welcome him back this afternoon to KMOX. Hi, Ray.
Hi, Paul. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Just fine. Up in Calgary, Canada.
Oh, you're on your Canadian swing, huh?
That's right. The Calgary Stampede.
Go watch some hot CFL action.
Yeah, there you go.
While you're there. You know, I was thinking before, you know, you and I have talked many times during the years, but I've never talked about the Doors' relationship to radio itself when you first came out. You know, Riders on the Storm, that song there is 7 minutes plus. The album version, Light My Fire, of course, was 6:50, I think, was the album version. But most of the songs that you guys that were hits, like Break On Through and Lover Madly and Love Me Two Times, they were right around that 2.5-3 minute mark. Did you write them consciously for the radio?
No, you write the songs for the song. I don't think you try to do anything. I mean, if we had, we'd have written if we did do it consciously, we would have done a 3-minute Light My Fire.
Uh-huh.
You know, but we didn't. We did a 7-minute Light My Fire. No, you write the song. Each song, it's like, it's like vegetables in the garden. They come into the season. I feel like Chauncey Gardner here from being there.
Yeah.
Each vegetable comes into its season and it lives. Each song has a duration in length. You know, you can stretch them out, but sometimes that would be a little superfluous. Invariably, it's like verse, chorus, solo. Verse, chorus, out is the structure of the song. So, no, we never actually set out to write songs of radio length. It just, songs just happen to come out about 3 minutes long. But you know when it's a hit single. Like Hello, I Love You was obviously going to be a hit single. You know, we thought to each other, you know what, man, this sounds like a hit single. Let's go for it. And then the last thing that was done after we recorded the whole song is I put on some harmony vocal with Jim on the Hello, I Love You, on the high parts and whatnot, and went back into the studio, listened to it, and said, that's it. Send it to New York, man. That's a hit right there. You know, you can tell when it's a hit.
And then when you heard your first Doors hit on the radio, what was that like?
Oh, man, that's like a dream come true. You know, you're working. I mean, it took us 2 years. Jim and I met on the beach in Southern California, formed the Doors in summer of 1965 after we graduated from UCLA. Summer of 1967, 40th anniversary coming up, Summer of Love and all of that, the Doors' Light My Fire becomes a number one song in America. Knocked off the Beatles' All You Need Is Love. And it was amazing. The first time we heard it was in May, driving. It wasn't number one yet, but we were driving down Sunset Boulevard, my wife and I, Dorothy, and we were heading out to the beach and left the strip and hit the curves of Beverly Hills, and on came Light My Fire, man. And we were just hauling ass through. I'm surprised we weren't arrested. Stop them. They're maniacs. Of course, they're only in a Volkswagen, and they look like students, so it's okay. But she was bouncing up and down. I was pounding on the steering wheel. Turn it up, baby. Turn it up. And it was there we were. It was like everything had happened, man. Light My Fire was on the radio. That was the first time I'd ever heard the Doors on the radio.
Was that the full album version?
No, never. My goodness gracious. No, there was no, they wouldn't play. No, it was all 3 minutes. It was all, everything was 3 minutes. The radio stations around the country said, we want Light My Fire, but you got to cut it somehow. And, cut it down to 3 minutes. We don't play 7-minute songs. And then Robbie said, well, you play Bob Dylan like a Rolling Stone, and then the radio guys said, well, when you guys get as big as Bob Dylan, maybe we'll play yours, too.
So did the record company come to you and say, cut a 3-minute version for us, or did they
Absolutely.
Just go? Oh,
yeah.
So the version that was a 3-minute hit was a remake by you?
No, it was an edit.
They just took the album version and edited it down, and that was okay
exactly.
with you.
Exactly. What was so cool is that when people bought the LP, the album, you know, after Light My Fire was a hit, all of a sudden you get this 7-minute version of Light My Fire.
Yeah.
It's like, whoa, what is this, man? So that's like your extra added bonus.
So now when you and Robbie come to town with the Riders on the Storm on Friday night, will you be doing the songs the way people remember the original versions, or is there something new in the Riders on the Storm version?
Well, you always stretch out. You're live, and when you're live, I mean, we're not robots here, man. You know, are we going to play it exactly like the record? It will be played exactly like the record.
Well, there are some bands that do it that way, Ray.
Well, that's their problem, isn't it? They have to shave and look in the mirror every morning and know that they're doing that. No, the Doors were always an improvisational band. You know, Light My Fire is this whole solo section for both Robbie and for me in the recording studio is an improvisation. That was that one time only. The next time it would be different. Time after that it'll be different. So we will play the songs as you know them. Light My Fire goes dun 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 dun. It's got to have the introduction. That's always the same. But then how we comp and what we play in the solos is entirely different. You know, so there's always the songs are exactly the same, but they're different every time.
Would you ever consider being a mentor on American Idol?
No, I don't. I don't do American Idol. I'm sorry.
Has any Doors song ever been performed on American Idol?
Oh, I doubt it. I don't think so. Have they ever performed a Beatles song?
I think they did. George Harrison. I think somebody may have sung "Here Comes the Sun" a couple of years ago.
Something in the way she moves,
or something like that.
Something along that line, yeah.
But
do a Stone song? You know?
Somebody did "Paint It Black."
Really? No kidding.
Yeah.
How about Bob Dylan? Anybody?
I don't know. Although I would pay $1,000 to see Bob Dylan as a mentor.
Yeah, that would be great, wouldn't it? Holy, that's what you want to see, man.
Yeah.
No, I don't think. I think I would take a pass on American Idol.
Is that because you think that the versions of your songs would be too horrible?
No, I'd love to hear them. Go ahead, man. I mean, there's a lot of great songs they could do. You know what? They could do "Your Lost Little Girl."
Yep.
They could do "Summer's Almost Gone." There's some Doors ballads that would be real nice for people to have a shot at. We wanted to have Frank Sinatra sing "Your Lost Little Girl" when he broke up with Mia Farrow. "Your Lost Little Girl."
Yeah.
That would have been cool, man. Like a Jose Feliciano, vaguely Latinized kind of version. That would have been cool, but we never. You know, you could never get to Frank Sinatra. I mean, besides, we were a rock group, and he hated rock and roll by then. He had become a fascist by that. He was, you know, he was a liberal, and then he'd become a fascist. I think that when LSD hit, people started taking LSD, he said, "I hate those people who take LSD." Well, okay, man, we still love you.
Wouldn't it be great if he had gone to you and said, "You know what? I like You Lost Little Girl, but I really would like to do Backdoor Man."
Then Mia Farrow might have said, "Yes, he is. He does like that."
Well,
why do you think we broke up?
Talking with Ray Manzarek of the Doors, his new band Riders on the Storm will be at Pops on Friday night. What is the worst version of a Doors song you ever heard?
Oh, God, there have been a couple. I would say Mae West singing "Light My Fire."
Wow.
Mae West, that the bombshell from the 20s and 30s.
Yes.
She was with W.C. Fields.
Yes.
Strange, strange lady. And she had kind of a nightclub act into the 60s. I don't know. She was like 139 years old, and she was still on stage in Las Vegas, you know. And she had recorded her Las Vegas routine, more or less, and she did "Light My Fire."
Somewhere in my archives, I have Mae West and Timothy Dalton, the one-time James Bond, singing Captain and Tennille's "Love Will Keep Us Together."
Oh, my God. There you go. That's a good one.
Must have been from that same era, but I have a nominee for worst version of a Doors song.
Yeah.
It's the kid who was co-starred with Schwarzenegger in Terminator 2. His name is Edward Furlong.
Sure.
Listen to this.
"People are strange.
Now, that sounds like the audition weeks of Idol to me.
That's very bizarre, man. Is that an actual record?
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, you know what? He's a real good actor, too.
Yeah, he was okay in that movie. I haven't seen him in anything
else. Movies. I mean, I've seen him in other movies. The kid's a good actor. Obviously, God never intended him to be a rock and roll singer, that's for sure. Eddie, don't do that anymore.
No, no, knock that off. Speaking of movies, is it true that you almost walked out of the Oliver Stone Doors movie?
Is it true that I almost wasn't?
No, that you almost walked out of it.
Well, no, I had to see it. I didn't participate in the filming of
it. No, because I heard that at a screening, you guys were invited, and about halfway through, you turned to whoever you were with and said, this isn't anything like what we were like.
Exactly. That person was my wife.
Oh, it was?
Right. That was Dorothy. And we both went, let's get out of here.
And you did leave?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the story I heard.
Yeah, it was too bizarre, man. It's like, wait a minute. Who is this drunk on the screen? What is this like? Is this the Oliver Stone as a rock star story? This is not Jim Morrison. This is some drunk. This is an alky, you know?
So to your knowledge, Jim did not hang out in the desert talking to Indians.
Well, I mean, he hung out in the desert, and he talked to Indians, but he didn't talk to invisible Indians, you know? I think it's the invisible Indian part. Plus, there's that guy who's, like, naked.
Yeah.
And that naked Indian is actually, that's an awfully pale-looking Indian. That is not even an Indian. That's a white man.
Oh, yeah?
It's a white man, and he's a Polish guy like me. I mean, wait a minute. That's the, you know, the Indian played by, you know, Joukowsky or somebody. Wait a minute. You can't have a pale-skinned white Polak playing an Indian. Stop it. Wrong, man. Yeah, that movie. You know, but on the other hand, it's very exciting for a rock and roll movie compared to, you know, biopics.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't know if you ever saw the Jimi Hendrix biopic on TV. It was awful.
Yeah.
You
know? Most of them are. Most
they cannot make rock and roll movies. I would say it's probably the best rock and roll movie Hollywood's ever turned out.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, what else? What else is there? You know?
Well, I'd say Hard Day's Night.
Although not a Hollywood movie. That's starring the Beatles. That doesn't count. Hard Day's Night is very funny, isn't it? I love that movie. That is a very good movie.
But it's not a biopic.
Go to the window. Go to the window. No, that's not a. That's a Beatles. That's a Beatles movie.
Right, right.
And that's, you know, that's an English movie too. So I mean, but a Hollywood biopic, a story of the life of a rocker. How about the Bobby Darin story?
The one that Spacey did a couple
that's
years
right,
ago.
Piusky.
Oh, Piusky. Horrible. Horrible.
What do we say in Polish? Piusky.
Yeah.
I'm the Polish kid from the south side of Chicago.
I got you. Let me take a break here, Ray. Then we'll come back and talk some more. Ray Manzarek, he and Robbie Krieger, the two guys from The Doors who are now together in Riders on the Storm, a new group that's coming to Pops in Sauget on Friday night. Brett Scallions from Fuel is their new lead singer. If you want to go see him, you can get your tickets through Ticketmaster.com. This is the Paul Harris Show. We're back with more after this on KMOX.
You know that it would be untrue. You know that I would be a lie if I was to say to you.
This is what Ray was talking about a few minutes ago.
We couldn't get much higher.
I dug into the archives and found it.
Come on, baby, light my fire.
That is Mae West singing the Doors classic, Light My Fire. From
Pretty funny, man.
From about what year do you think?
Somewhere in the 60s, you know, probably 69, you know, 68, 60. Wait a minute, Mae West, 69.
Okay, perfect. Ray Manzarek and Robbie Krieger of The Doors are coming to town in the group Riders on the Storm, which does not include John Densmore. You guys still fighting over things?
There is still a lawsuit going on, still a trial. The trial has gone on to the appeals court. And we'll find out what happens in the appeals court. But one of these days it will be over with, and then we'll be able to play together again. But until then, we can't play together.
You can't play together, or you can't use the name The Doors?
All of the above.
Wow. And what about the break on through Cadillac commercial lawsuit? Is that still going on?
No, that's over with.
Okay. Was it $15 million?
That's right.
$15 million these guys were offered, and John said no, and you and Robbie wanted to do it, right?
Well, I thought it was a, you know what was interesting is Cadillac wanted us to, we said to them, is there any, do you have any hybrid cars or anything in the works, any, you know, fuel efficient? They said, Well, yes, we do. And we said, well, you know what? We'd like to work with you on that. And they said, God, that would be fabulous, man. And I thought, God, can you imagine rock and roll and industry actually get together?
Yeah.
Because you know what? There is going to be industry. There are going to be cars. We're going to be burning something. You're going to have to, the hip people are going to have to get together with the industrialists and kind of turn them around. That's the only way it's going to happen. And I thought we could actually start doing it here. But unfortunately, John didn't think that was a very good idea.
As I recall, his quote was, "The music isn't for rent."
That's right. It was sacred. It's sacred music. It's all sacred. It's made by God. God made the music. And she's a great singer, too, I want to tell you. That God is one great gal up there.
Yeah. I want to talk about the early days, because when you started in the mid-60s, there were not a lot of rock and roll keyboard players. In fact, I think it was you and Stevie Winwood in the Spencer Davis Group.
That was about it.
You know, that and a Hammond B3, and, you know, that's about all there was. So, So where did you learn how to be a rock and roll keyboard player?
Well, playing rock and roll piano. My God, I grew up in the 50s, and when you think about the 50s, I mean, half of the monster acts were piano players. Little Richard.
Oh, yeah.
Jerry Lee Lewis.
Right.
Fats Domino.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and the keyboard player who played with Chuck Berry from St. Louis.
The great Johnny Johnson.
That's right.
Yeah.
Probably my biggest rock and roll influence. Man, could that guy play the piano.
Yeah.
And then there were the blues guys, like Muddy Waters had Otis Spann with him, a great piano player. And there were a lot of piano players in the blues thing. So growing up on the south side of Chicago, hearing those blues guys, I mean, that did it to me, man. That ruined my life. I'm not an attorney as I was supposed to be. My parents said, he would be a good lawyer. He would be good as a lawyer.
Were mom and dad upset that you became a rock and roller?
Hell no, man. Light My Fire hits the number one song in America, and my mom and dad are going, that was a right decision, Rachel. We're very glad you did that. By the way, we want to get a nice little liquor store in the country. Can you help us out?
Yeah, but there were some lean times before number one.
Well, of course, there was nothing, man.
Did they say to you, you should have something to fall back on, Raymond?
Well, I had my master's degree from UCLA. Jim had his bachelor's degree. And I suppose, they were happy. I graduated from college. So, you know, what can they say? It was just not, you know, what are you going to do with a degree in film? You know, there's nothing you can, especially back then. They didn't want UCLA film school students. They were making movies with Doris Day and Rock Hudson. They didn't want to know anything about Fellini, you know, 8 1/2, Federico Fellini. They didn't want to know about that kind of stuff. So, it was all an existential gamble. I think ultimately if you gamble your life, you'll probably win. Here's the irony of life. If you actually take that existential leap into the unknown, gambling your life to do what you really want to do and really believe and love, you'll succeed.
I'm going to try that someday.
Well, you're on the radio, man. That's what could be better.
But it's only been 30 years. My mom keeps hoping I'll get a real job.
Millions of people want to do what you're doing.
And you too.
Well, yeah, of course. But for me, you have to practice. Listen, no offense. Not saying that you don't work hard.
No, none taken, none taken. Okay. I understand that. Neither of us goes home with a sore back, and that's the truth.
Ain't that the truth?
So we talked about your influences. Now, you know, you have been an icon for all these years, and you must have heard from other people who came up to you and said, well, I started playing rock and roll keyboards because of you.
Yeah.
And since then, people have taken some of your stuff and turned them into samples on rap records and another rock records.
Sure. Yeah.
Does that bother you when they use?
Oh God, not at all. I mean, I did the same thing, man. We, Morrison's borrowing poetry and adapting things from Rimbaud and Verlaine and the French symbolists and from the beat poets. So, you know, it's absolutely all right. And we were always adapting things. My God, Spanish Caravan is an actual classical piece of guitar composition from 17th, 18th century that Robbie lifted virtually wholesale. Long since in the public domain. And I was always playing. I mean, we're always playing parts that we've heard somebody else play. I think that's absolutely fine. God bless. Go ahead. If you're going to take my whole introduction to Light My Fire, well, you can't do that technically without paying me. But if you're going to use some kind of something from When the Music's Over, a little repeating organ riff, God, go ahead. Enjoy it.
I always thought that Soul Kitchen sounded a little James Brownish.
It is, man. Bingo. Right on the money. I'm doing horn parts. Make it funky now. That's right. Exactly. It is a James Park. James Brown.
A couple of other things I got to ask you about that have happened in the last 6 months or so. One, when you guys got the Grammy Lifetime Achievement Award, Robbie said, quote, "The first time my dad met Jim Morrison, he looked at me and Ray and John and said, 'Boys, I think we better invest in a good criminal attorney.'"
An exaggerated story.
That's not true?
Yeah, well, it is true, actually.
Was that the general feeling of the...
Well, it was the feeling of the adults, you know. It wasn't our feeling. It was the feeling of the, you know, the adults. They want you to be engineers, lawyers, doctors. Dorothy, my wife, was supposed to be a pharmacist, and she always says, "Well, thanks a lot. Why couldn't I be a doctor?" You know.
But what do you think it was in Jim that thought we better get a defense attorney?
Danger. Dark, brooding, sensual, dangerous.
Which paid off in big bucks, didn't it?
Hey, if you're a girl, what kind of a guy do you want? If I'm a girl, I want a dark, brooding, sensuous, dangerous guy.
Mm-hmm. It's the bad boy syndrome.
I love a bad boy. That's all I want is a bad boy. Of course, then they beat you, and they drink, and they run around, but...
Yeah.
You know, I'm just so attracted. I mean, I myself am attracted. Well, I'm not attracted to bad girls, actually, come to think of it. I like hip chicks, actually. I like the beatnik-looking girls.
No, but
my wife in class, man, when I first saw her in class, I fell in love virtually immediately. She had black leotards on and a red tartan skirt, and her hair was parted off to the side, had kind of a white blouse of some sort or another, and was drawing and painting in this painting class. And I thought, God, she looks just like a beatnik. I love that girl.
And did she want you to introduce her to Jim Morrison or some other bad guy?
Right. You know, I was her bad guy.
Oh.
Jim Morrison came and lived with us. This is before we met Jim Morrison. I fell in love with my wife, and we were boyfriend, girlfriend before Jim Morrison even came along.
Speaking of the bad boy thing, what happened with the governor of Florida and the pardon for Jim?
Yeah, I don't know, man. That'll be a lengthy process. I mean, that has just begun.
Yeah, a couple of weeks ago it was reported that Charlie Crist, who's the governor of Florida, said he was seriously considering pardoning Jim for the 1970 indecent exposure thing where he supposedly, for lack of a better phrase, whipped it out. And
that's interesting. That's what they say in the courtroom, too. He did whip it out.
But there's nothing new on that?
No.
No.
No, it was only a couple of weeks ago. Christ, that'll take 6 to 8 months. You know, it's got to go through the legal process.
Yeah, and, you know, a politician doesn't make any quick decisions unless it, under any circumstances.
If he's up for re-election and it behooves him to make that decision, he will make that decision.
There you go. Are you still writing music?
Oh, yeah, sure, man. Robbie and I and Brett will be getting together in the recording studio and putting some new material together relatively soon.
And when people come see you on Friday night, will it be new material plus Doors Classics?
Yes.
All right. Friday night at Pops in Sauget, you can go see Ray Manzarek and Robbie Krieger and Brett Scallions. The group is called Riders on the Storm. And, Ray, as you know, it's always a pleasure having you on the show.
Likewise. Good to be on the show, man.
Thank you so much.
All right, buddy.
Ray Manzarek here on the Paul Harris Show. It's News Talk 1120 KMOX.